In his State of the State address last night, Governor Tony Evers highlighted his priorities for education funding here in Wisconsin.
Doing what's best for our kids has always been what's best for our state, and today we can afford to do more. So I'm going to deliver on the promise I made before the election to use a portion of our state's historic surplus to make an historic investment in our kids and in our schools.
As we get rolling in the state's budget season, Evers announced he would seek additional money for expanded mental health services for students, a boost in reading education, and in general, a substantial boost in state funding for local districts. Republican lawmakers have signaled and repeated last night that they'd like to see an expansion of school choice and voucher programs in the state, possibly even some version of universal school choice. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What did you think of what the governor and what the Republican response from Robin Voss had to say about education funding in the state? Do you want more money going to public schools? Are there particular areas of need that you see if you work in a local district? What do you see as your main budget challenges? Then ideas for expanding school choice, expanding school vouchers. Should everyone in the state have the same access to the vouchers, or should there be income limits as there are now? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Marguerite Pienaar-Parks is Professor of Leadership, Literacy, and Social Foundations at the UW Oshkosh College of Education and Human Services. Marguerite, welcome to Central Time.
Good afternoon, and thank you very much for having me.
All right, with an asterisk at everything we're about to talk about, we don't have a lot of specific budget details from the governor or from Republicans. They're talking in broad strokes so far. All that said, let's start with public schools. What do you see as areas in public schools that could maybe use a boost in funding?
Well, when I looked at what Governor Evers was talking about yesterday, I think one of the ones that he talked about is retaining our teachers. It's critical that our teachers be paid a fair wage, that they want to stay. And it's not just important for the teachers. It's also important for the students, because when they see the same teachers in the building year after year, that also gives them a feeling of stability in the school building. So I think that one of the things he said he was going to fund, retaining teachers, is a really critical funding.
Looking at some of the other areas he brought up, we heard mental health funding would be a priority, $500 million overall for mental health and behavioral services. Are you seeing a need for that in our schools?
We've always seen a need for that. And we started doing cuts. We start cutting some of the things that students need the most to help with their mental health. One of the things we know is there are not nearly enough counselors or social workers in the buildings with which to support the students. Mental health challenges are going through the roof in all age groups. I was just listening today about how the number of people who are calling the suicide line in Wisconsin has almost doubled with the new numbers. So it's the parents who need mental health, it's the students who need mental health, it's the educators. I mean, in today's society, it is going up, so yes, we definitely need more support, more educators who are well-educated in issues of social-emotional learning, are well-educated in trauma-informed care, so that they are making any decisions they make based on knowledge versus based on intuition.
And then $20 million for improving reading skills. I know there have been concerns with our standardized tests when it comes to reading before COVID, definitely since COVID started, and the concerns about the impact of remote learning. Are there strategies you'd like to see tackled to try to at least catch up with some of the reading skills we might have lost?
For those of you who've never taught reading, and I'm a high school teacher, by the way, but I spent 5 semesters team teaching with one of the best reading specialists in the state, Dr. Michael Ford, and discovered how incredibly difficult teaching reading is, because every student has a different issue. Is it the blends? Is it the phonemes? You know, is it the consonant blends, the vowel blends? And teachers don't have the time's a big one, to sit down and individually be able to assess each child to the level that would really be helpful. So yes, any help that can be given to teachers with which so that they can once again individualize the reading needs of students, especially in younger levels, is critical. We also know that we tend to lose our readers from second to third grade because of the transition from picture books to chapter books. And we also know that we tend to lose our readers really when they go into middle school. So it's really critical that we take a look not just at the early development ages, but at other times when we're losing our readers.
We're talking to Marguerite Pinnock-Parks from UW Oshkosh's College of Education and Human Services, looking at budget priorities from Governor Evers in his State of the State address last night, the Republican response from Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. I want to give a listen to Speaker Voss now talking about school choice. Republicans in the legislature hoping to see some sort of expansion instead of, or maybe in addition to, increases in public school funding. Here's a listen to some of what Speaker Voss had to say.
While my Democratic colleagues want to make the issue about public versus private schools, school choice isn't just about kids leaving a public school to go to a private one. In fact, in the 2021-22 school year, 71,489 kids open enrolled, leaving one public school to choose a different public school. You see, it's all about parents picking the best school for their children, not being trapped in the one where they happen to live, whether or not it's the right fit for their son or daughter.
Marguerite, before we get into pros and cons of school choice, can you talk about the variety within school choice? When we say that phrase, it can cover a lot of ground, from a public charter to public, going to the public school, a town over, to private schools, to voucher schools. There's a lot contained in that phrase, right?
Yes, there is. I was writing it down and listening. And I think that is one of the biggest misunderstandings when we talk about school choice. Because it can be, you choose to enroll your child in the school in the district next door because of their athletic program, because of their music program, because of their reading scores. That's one type. Charter schools are public schools. They tend to have to follow all of the public rules with the exception of ones that they've written in to their governance policy. But for the most part, they're public teachers with public school licenses. And then private schools, of course, run on a whole different list. And that's really where the vouchers come in, is the idea that, and it is a lot about, Representative Voss was wrong when he says it's not just about one kid going to another, because it's also incredibly important about the funding that you take away from one school to give to another school. And that's where one of the critical issues of going from public to private is as Dr. Evers said, as Governor Evers said, we need to put money into our public schools, not take it away. And vouchers take it away from the students who are still at that school there.
And one idea, Assembly Speaker Voss, one of the biggest proponents of doing something along the lines of a universal school choice. Again, that can cover a lot of ground in different details. But one basic idea is saying, okay, we have currently an income limit in the state's voucher programs, plural, Milwaukee, Racine, and then the statewide one. The idea of saying, okay, no more income limit. Any parent can take advantage of that voucher program, use it at a private, religious, whatever school in their community. What are your thoughts on the specific idea of removing that income limit on the use of vouchers?
Throughout my history as an education professor and as an educator who worked in what we would call an urban school, I'm always looking at issues of equity. And what happens with the voucher program, which some people say is about equality, not equity, is this idea that there are people, parents, who will put their children into voucher schools even though they could pay the tuition, which once again would take a space away from a child who can't. But then you also have to look at who knows how to navigate the voucher program, who has the education, the skills, the knowledge, the friends, the educators who can tell them how to navigate it, because it's not that simple to just say, I want to put my child into the school. And there are a lot of things you have to know. There's lots of hoops you have to jump through. There's lots of paperwork you have to do. And that takes the equity out of it, because that means the people who are able to navigate the system are going to be ones whose kids get in. And that's not equitable.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Lauren joins us now in Janesville. Lauren, hi.
Hi. I'm a mental health counselor. I handle adults primarily. And I work for a federally qualified clinic in Beloit. The family issues that I deal with, I know are trickling down to our kids. Our kids are in a world of hurt. They need mental health care. They need social workers there to help them and families, navigate systems, et cetera. The more investment that we do in their mental health while they are still growing and developing, we'll turn them into adults that are, I'm trying to think of the word here, but they will be secure within themselves. They will be mentally stable, et cetera, that are able to handle jobs and pressures of life, et cetera. What I would like to see happen with part of that money, not just straight funding to go to clinics, et cetera, but there is such a shortage. Nobody wants to go into this profession, and there aren't enough therapists, even the ones that just graduate. There are not enough social workers and graduates to go around. We really need to partner with the schools. We really need to make a push for some sort of incentive for folks that have the ability to do this type of work.
Lauren, thanks a lot for the call. What do you think, Marguerite?
Oh, I completely agree with her. One of the things that I've always said, that if I could create my ideal teacher education program, because that's what I teach in, every person who's going to be a teacher would have to take a course in counseling. And that currently is not a requirement, but teachers spend an enormous amount of time counseling students who are having mental health issues or, have just had a bad day. I had a parent when I was teaching high school who found his son skipping school. So he literally threw the kid into my classroom. I mean, literally back of the neck, feet. And how is that kid supposed to be able to learn when that happens? And as a first year teacher, which I was not prepared to help him. Every teacher needs a course in counseling because, as Sarah said, there's just not enough. I'm sorry, as the caller said, there's just certainly is not enough.
Thanks again for that call. We're talking to Marguerite Pienaar-Parks, Professor of Leadership, Literacy, and Social Foundations at the UW Oshkosh College of Education and Human Services, talking about state funding for public education and for school choice programs. Governor Evers highlighted his proposals for a boost in public school funding last night in a State of the State speech. Republican lawmakers say they want to expand the school choice system in various ways in Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with the state's current budget surplus. When it comes to education, where would you want money to go? Public schools, if so, are there particular things you think we need to do? School choice programs, expand, contract, stay where we are, take off income limits. So on the voucher program, call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation about school funding and school choice with UW Oshkosh Education Professor Marguerite Pienaar-Parks. You can join in with your thoughts, what you want to see happen in this year's state budget, this two-year state budget, when it comes to funding of public schools, various kinds of choice programs in the state. Call 800-642-1234. Go back to your calls now. Sarah is with us in Madison. Sarah, hello.
Hello.
What did you want to bring up, Sarah?
I'm a retired public school teacher and feel very strongly that funding should go to our public schools. It's the great equalizer. Everybody can get a wonderful education. And I just wonder when the last time any of our Republican legislators have ever been in a public school. Of all the governors that we've had, Evers would be the most knowledgeable about public schools, having been a public school superintendent and an educator. These vouchers only privatize, really, public education. And I know about charter schools, and they're publicly funded, but they do not operate on the same scale as what we call regular public schools. I feel very strongly about Republicans destroying public education in our state and in our country.
Sarah, thanks for the call. Marguerite, there's a concern from Republicans, and not just Republicans, that some public schools aren't doing the job as well as they could be, and something needs to change. What do you think?
One of the things that I talk to my students about, and this would be a class as people preparing to be principals, is that one of the issues with American public schools historically, and you can go back through history, is that every time we change parties in power, we change the ideology of education. And that's because the different parties have different ideologies. I always tell my students, it's not that one is better than the other, it's just that they both have different ideas on how to make our educational program the best we can. But the problem is that we never stay on one track long enough to get something accomplished. So we will implement No Child Left Behind, and 8 years later we do something else. And then we'll implement like all the stuff that came out of Nation at Risk. And then we do something else. When you look at the education of Finland, which by the way has no standardized test, and their teachers have one of the highest paid professions and one of the highest trained professions, they set a goal years ago of what they wanted their schools to look like, and they kept on the same track. I really think that's important, because as long as we continue to change from ideology to ideology, then how can we get? Education needs to be in the middle, but we can't get in the middle because we continuously swing to extremes one way or the other. So to answer the question, it's we need to find a way to that old adage of, instead of seeing why we have all the fish in the pond, why don't we go up to the front of the river to see who's drawing them in or what's drawing them in. Why aren't we going to see that as opposed to trying to just, oh, let's do this, oh, let's do that, oh, let's do this, oh, let's do that, without really looking at what the educational needs are?
Thanks a lot for that call. We'll go to Louise now in Dodgeville. Louise, hello.
Hi. I live in Southwest Wisconsin and am able to listen to Iowa Public Radio along with Wisconsin Public Radio. But I was very shocked, and not shocked, that Governor Kim Reynolds, who's a Republican, and Iowa has a Republican House and Senate, they just passed a big bill to privatize basically education. So I'm wondering, one state over, what the impact is going to be on Wisconsin. Has Iowa passed all this?
Louise, thanks for the call. I don't know if it's passed completely. I know Iowa is advancing something comparable to that universal school choice, a scholarship available to anyone using private schools, as I vaguely understand it. Marguerite, are you watching Iowa or other states?
I wish I was. I'm from Iowa. Actually, my PhD is from University of Iowa, and I went to school there. Once again, when you start... I'm going to go back to the caller a minute ago, Sarah from Madison. When you try to privatize schools, that means you don't know what goes on in schools. I would love to see any of these people who are trying to prioritize schools to go into a public school and teach for a week, do all the prep and all of that. Education was not meant to be privatized. The very first law that required education in this country, the old Luder-Satan law in Massachusetts, was established so that everybody in that community could get a fair and equal education so that they could become members of the United States and voting and educated members. To privatize takes away what our whole entire educational system in the United States has always been based on.
Louise, thanks for that call. And Louise is quite right. Iowa did sign, the governor of Iowa signed that into law just yesterday, it looks like. In just our last minute or so, Marguerite, what are you watching for as the budget negotiations go forward here?
I'm looking to see that Governor Evers is able to do what he wants to do for education. I'm also the bridges and the roads and all of that. But with education, we've got so many phenomenal teachers out there and administrators and superintendents and so many students who so deserve everything we can give them. And that's not just money, but the money creates opportunities. And we don't want to take those opportunities away from any of our students, but especially the students who are the most in need. So I'm looking forward to Governor Evers and his budget and the legislature creating most opportunities to create equitable access for all of our students in the state of Wisconsin so that we continue to be a great state.
Marguerite, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Marguerite Bienick-Parks is a professor of leadership, literacy, and social foundations at the UW-Oshkosh School of Education and Human Services. We talked to her today about Governor Evers' proposals for increasing public school funding and Republican state lawmakers' goals to expand the school choice system here in Wisconsin. You can keep sharing your thoughts over on the Ideas Network Facebook page.